Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the June NJEDA board meeting. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press 1 and then 0 on your phone keypad to be placed in a queue to speak and provide comment. You'll be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1-0 command. And if you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. If you should require assistance during the call, please press star, then 0. I will now turn the conference over to our host, Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Can people in the room in the back hear us? Because we have microphones on the table, but I think we'll try to not turn them on. And on the phone, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can, sir.
Yes, we can. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Tim, do you want to read the open public meeting notice?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star-Ledger and the Times of Trenton at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State.
Thank you, Tim. Munira, could you call the roll?
Yes. Chairman Terrence O'Toole.
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Thornhill.
Here.
Phil Alagia.
Here.
Virginia Bauer.
Here.
Fred Dumont. Aisha Glover.
Present.
Marcia Marley.
Present.
Jewel Antoine Johnson.
Here.
Robert Shimko.
Here.
Maciel Ferrara. Jameer Sherman from the Executive Branch.
Here.
Labor Commissioner Robert Angelo.
Here.
Banking Commissioner Maureen Caridi.
Present.
Elizabeth Dragon for DEP Commissioner Sean Lazarette.
Here.
State Treasurer Elizabeth Moyo. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Munira. There is one set of minutes for approval today. Before you are the minutes from the May 10th NJEDA board meeting for review and approval. I kindly request that board members state their name for the record when making a motion or seconding. May I hear a motion to approve the May 10th board meeting minutes?
Jenny Bauer, I'll move.
Thank you. A second?
Second, Angela.
Thank you. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Let me make some brief remarks before we get started. First, good morning and welcome to the June board meeting. I'm excited to have everyone here at Fort Monmouth. I think we have virtually 100% attendance of our board, either live or in person. And I want to thank Famira for hosting us here today, and I think we're all looking forward to the tour later. It's good timing to be here on Flag Day, which is celebrated each year on June 14th, and I would also note it would have been my mother's 100th birthday, so a very special day. At 11 o'clock this morning, Famira will continue its annual tradition of hosting a public ceremony honoring Old Glory and celebrating the birthday of the U.S. Army. In this case, it's 248. There's much positive news coming out of the fort over the past decade as the Famira team undertakes the monumental effort to return the former fort to its status as an economic engine for Monmouth County. Famira's small team of eight, now under the leadership of Kara Kopak, has continued to exceed expectations with nearly 40 projects completed or currently in progress. Perhaps the most newsworthy project taking shape at the fort to date is Netflix's plan to develop a state-of-the-art East Coast production facility on a 292-acre parcel in Eatontown and Oceanport. I'm told that where we were sitting now will no longer exist because it will be part of that project.
Enjoy it while you're here. Yeah.
There was a very cool, by the way, etching we found in the glass over there of the, like, U.S. Army Space Command, which we have to save because it's very cool. The streaming giant's decision to bid on the Fort Monmouth site speaks volumes to New Jersey's competitive advantage for film and digital media projects. Due to our unparalleled talent, our strategic location, the authentic range of filming landscapes, from beaches and mountains to iconic cityscapes. Governor Murphy and First Lady Tammy Murphy are wholeheartedly committed to the success of the film and television industry in New Jersey. Governor Murphy continues to cite the state's commitment to women's reproductive rights and inclusiveness for the LGBTQ plus community as a sign of the state's welcoming climate for creative companies and projects. In January, the governor announced that film projects in New Jersey were estimated to have contributed over $650 million in spending to the state in 2022. I'm pleased to share that the final number for the economic impact from the film industry in New Jersey in 2022 exceeded that estimate at more than $700 million, more than $50 million higher than expected. Notably, the average spend by productions per shooting day in 2022 was over $227,000, a 40% increase from 2021's average spend per shooting day of just over $150,000. Projects supported by the Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program employed more than 14,600 people in the state in 2022. And so far this year, the New Jersey Film Commission has received more than 300 inquiries from projects interested in shooting in New Jersey. All indications are that we are on track for another banner year in terms of film and television activity. Clearly, our state serves as an ideal location for film projects. Our expanded ability to support studio development through the tax credit program will help to solidify the commitment of leading companies like Netflix and Lionsgate to plan for a long-term presence in New Jersey, with additional studio projects under consideration in cities like Bayonne and West Orange. I'm excited for what the future holds for the state's film sector and appreciate all that the NJEDA and Premier teams are doing to lay the groundwork for the industry to thrive here and to create opportunities for New Jerseyans with a wide range of skills. Before we start the meeting today, I'm going to turn it over to Tim in a second. I do want to point out that one of the things we're doing, and I want to call everybody's attention in the room to it, and I think we've now sent, Danielle, we've sent these to board members on the phone. We're going to, before we discuss a particular project like an Expire project, we're going to have a slide that will remind us all of what the program is, give us some of the facts and backgrounds for the program, so as a board we can see the context for the various things we're considering and the decisions we're going to make, just to remind us, because we do have such a rich array of projects that are underway. And we're continuing to think. I've met with many of you. I think I have a couple more one-on-one meetings with board members, but Tim and I are continuing to think about ways we can try and make the board process robust and give everybody a chance to feel like we're contributing our highest. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to the CEO.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Fort Monmouth, or welcome back to Fort Monmouth for some of you. You'll hear on the tour, and I wouldn't attempt to do justice to the story that Kara and Sarah, depending on whose bus you're in, will tell, but the turnaround and the devastating impact that something like the closure of a military base can have, whether it's here at Fort Monmouth or all across the country, when a BRAC process, base relocation realignment closure commission action happens, it's devastating. You're talking about an overnight elimination of thousands of jobs, tons of vitality, the impact on the tax base, school systems, the surrounding communities for the three towns that host Fort Monmouth. It's devastating. So when that happened, in the middle part of last decade, it was a real gut punch to Monmouth County, to Central Jersey, to the entire state. And to be where we are today with a now kind of solidified plan for the full redevelopment of virtually the entire campus between what's already happened, what's going to happen with Netflix, and a few other pieces that are still under development that you'll see out on the tour, it's extraordinary. And Kara and the team that she leads here, Bruce Stedman, before her, really deserve all of our appreciation and thoughts. It's an extraordinary small, dynamic, hardworking, punching above their weight team. It's really extraordinary. The other reason I think that it's so appropriate to be here is that Fort Monmouth, more than anywhere else in the state, although South Ward and Newark and parts of Bayonne and West Orange and other places may wish to dispute this, but hard to point to a better place that points to the film renaissance that's going on in the state than what Netflix is going to be doing here. Again, when you're driving around, you'll see a bunch of land that isn't doing much right now, and to think that it's going to be the host of one of, if not the crown jewels of the American, film and TV network and system, the East Coast headquarters, the East Coast kind of flagship of Netflix, just extraordinary. Tons of construction jobs under a PLA that'll be built. Tons of permanent jobs, 1,400 plus permanent jobs associated with that investment. It's nothing short. You know, I use the word game changer too much. This is one of the very clear examples where it's okay to say it is a total game changer for this property and for this part of the state and for the entire state. So we're just incredibly proud of what's going on here. So appreciate the chance to showcase that a bit and tell you about what's going on here. Again, Kara and Sarah can do a much better job telling the Fort Monmouth story, including its history. But it's just an extraordinary moment. I want to give a shout out, speaking of Monmouth County, special guest star celebrity Eric Brophy, the governor's deputy chief of staff, pride of Monmouth County, central to the Netflix and every lot of other ambitions, is here. If you have any hard questions about Netflix, you can see Eric. He's in the back. I also want to shout out to the treasurer. Having the treasurer in person for a meeting off campus during June is like scheduling Santa in December. It's like a very challenging.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I'll let others read those too, but an honor to have you, as always, but particularly in this month.
Yeah, and to your point, Tim, about what a turnaround and what great expectations we have for this site, I really wanted to come see it in person and thank everybody for all the hard work that's gone into getting it.
I'll try to keep the rest of my remarks brief. Fortunately, compared to May's triathlon, this is more like a 10-miler today in terms of an agenda, but still have a bunch to get through. And I'm going to have two special guests give us a couple comments toward the end here. But just wanted to give a couple quick updates. We are in between week one and week two of a three-week really exciting arts and innovation festival called North of the Shore. As Atlantic City kicked it off this past weekend, Asbury Park has the torch this coming weekend, and then it's up to Newark for the weekend after that. I won't start naming names of who's involved in terms of celebrities and all that because I only know who about a third of them are, which is a good sign we picked a hip, current, youth-oriented lineup because I don't know who any people are. But, the ticket sales have been extraordinary. The press has been extraordinary. I think a really good indication, as the governor and the first lady have said, why can't New Jersey have something as good, if not better, than South by Southwest, given who we are as a state, who we are as a talent base, who we are as a place that protects and advances, all the values that the tech and entertainment industry support. We think it's going to be an extraordinary first event, and hopefully the first of an annual event that carries over from here. Speaking of arts, we also launched the application week before, for the ART program, capital A-R-T, Activation, Revitalization, and Transformation program. That's starting off in Newark and Atlantic City. Coming soon to a board agenda near you. We'll be broadening that to another crop of cities probably by the end of the year, see how we do in the first couple cities. But really thinking about how we can use arts and culture and activation strategies and some catalytic real estate investments to bring vitality back to places, particularly Newark and Atlantic City, for different reasons that continue to struggle post-pandemic, from foot traffic, the gaming situation in Atlantic City and the commuter situation, the remote work situation in Newark, really speaks to the need to give people more reasons to be downtown, to come downtown, to leave their buildings. And so we're excited about those programs. And we continue to march along on a whole variety of fronts. The manufacturing voucher program continues to rock and roll. We've made $22.2 million of awards there. The child care facility program continues to be extraordinarily both popular from an application intake perspective and from a productive, from an approvals perspective. And we're still continuing to push really hard on small business. We're never going to stop as long as the money doesn't run out. We're going to continue to push like hell on small business recovery. We've now approved more than $85 million in grants and loans to nearly 2,700 small businesses across the state. That's separate from the COVID impact. That's the Main Street program that's authorized by the budget. Further funding in the budget, depending on how the next couple weeks work out. And you'll hear some from Christina and her team about a couple of those programs later today. So we just continue to be busy on almost an infinite variety of fronts, but continue to make really good progress and do our best to advance the governor's agenda on lots of different fronts. Before I wrap up and yield it back and get to the meat of the agenda, it is Flag Day, as the chairman mentioned. It is also Pride Month. We, under Michelle Bowden's leadership, have started, Michelle, help me out, 6 employee networking groups. ENGs, if you will. We have a Pride employee networking group. We have a veterans and military families group. And let's start with Matt Abraham. It's Flag Day. You get to go first, Matt. U.S. Army, Matt Abraham.
Good morning, as the chairman mentioned, and as Tim Sullivan has mentioned, our CEO. Today our nation pauses to observe Flag Day. The flag is a symbol of our country's freedom, democracy, and unity. It is a reminder of the sacrifices that have been made to protect our nation and our way of life. Some of those sacrifices came from individuals based out of this fort, which served as a military base for many decades. Let us all wear our pins with pride. Thank you.
Thank you.
And shout out to Sarah Colton, the executive sponsor. Would you tell me the words? We're executive sponsor of the military and veterans and military families working group. Kathleen is the executive sponsor of the Pride group, and Kyle is on. Where's Kyle then? Is this Kyle somewhere along the way? Is Kyle gonna like fly in on a jetpack? Kyle O'Donnell from Michelle's team. Kathleen's going
to? Yeah, so happy to just share that the group has been extremely active in making sure that the EDA is a welcome community for all members of affiliated individuals and families. They meet regularly. We have a robust agenda for the month of June, being Pride Month, including an outing at the Trenton Thunder game for employees to come together. And celebrating Pride Pizza next month or next week across the EDA. So really just echoing Kim's comments, following the governor's plan and making sure that we're an inclusive and welcoming community for everyone to grow the economy in the state.
Great. All right. Thank you, Kathleen. Great. And we are sponsoring Pride Night at the Thunder Game tomorrow. If anyone wants to come, we have extra tickets. Great. All right.
All done?
That's my report.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let's go back to the agenda. The first item is the Incentives Committee report. Ginny Bauer is our chair. I just want to remind everyone that much of the work gets done in committees. The committee meetings are quite extensive with staff, and thank all the committee members and chair for their work. With that, Ginny, let me turn it over to you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I, too, was going to reiterate the same that For many of us on the board, we recognize that the meat of our work is really done through our committees. And our committee met on June 1st, and among the important issues that we're going to bring forth before our board today is a mixed-income residential Aspire program, which, again, Chairman and Tim, I thank you for the suggestion of which we're doing, which is to explain each program before we approve the projects, because I think it's important for us to be reminded exactly what we're approving and understanding the programs better. So we're going to be talking about a special project in Trenton, New Jersey, as well as two film and tax credit projects that we are discussing, how that industry is growing here in New Jersey, as well as the Grow New Jersey program for Express Script Pharmacy. So with that, we're happy to move forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thanks, Ginny. The first, as Ginny said, if we can go to the slide, we have a. So we're going to try and have these up before each different section. Some will be more generic on what the program is. Some will be more specific as they relate to the specific project. But just for, you know, just to give us all a framing and context. So the first project is going to be presented by Dan Jennings.
Good morning, members of the board. We are seeking your approval to award up to $29,139,873 in Aspire tax credits to a residential mixed-income and mixed-use project in Trenton. The project is situated at 150-170 South Broad Street in downtown Trenton on the edge of the Mill Hill neighborhood. The applicant is proposing the ground-up construction of a five-story, 120-unit building. As you can see from the diagram, the building will incorporate the existing facade of the Fram Skyver building, which has been at the site since 1932, and which has been vacant for quite some time. Of the 120 units, 70 will be market rate, 48 will be affordable, and 2 will be reserved for the building supers. The applicant is 150-170 South Broad Street, Trenton Urban Renewal Associates, LP, which consists of a managing member LLC and an investor member LLC. Both members are controlled by Ed Martoglio, who is one of the founders and the current CEO and sole principal of the lead development entity, RPM Development. RPM is one of the most prominent affordable housing developers in the state, and since 1986, the firm has built more than 5,000 housing units. The co-applicant is Life Management, Inc. This entity will provide services to residents of the project. They have worked extensively with RPM on other projects in providing services to those residents. And per the program rules, Life Management meets the four qualifications to be a pillar applicant, and those qualifications are noted in your board memo. The memo also gives more details, including the rent for the market rate and affordable units, and household area medium income levels that the affordable units will serve. The building will include modern amenities, a retail plaza, and will comply with HMSA's and EDA's green building standards. The total development budget is $73,052,097. To help size the award, we exclude costs that are prohibited by statute and program rules. Thus, the total eligible cost is $64,755,273. The developer must have 10% equity in this deal because it's located in a GRN community. The equity in this project is around $25.5 million, so that is not an issue. The sources table in the memo shows there are several other sources of debt and public funds in the deal. Carol, further size the award, we look at the project's rate of return. In this case, we use HMFA's developer fee model. To comply with this model, the developer must defer at least 50% of the proposed developer fee, which is $3,250,000. The developer has complied and will defer 100% of its developer fee. Finally, we suggest the applicant's request the program's award caps. In this case, the project is eligible to receive up to 45% of total eligible costs, or $60 million, whichever is less. Based on the aforementioned factors, we are recommending an Aspire award up to $29,139,873 for board approval. If approved, this project would be built and ready for occupancy within the next 24 months. It would be the largest and most significant residential project in downtown Trenton in more than a decade. And we are hoping that this project will spark a series of projects that revitalize the area over the next few years. At this point, happy to take your questions.
Hey, remind me, is this the Aspire Award?
Yes.
Residential Aspire?
Well, four residential.
Four residential on the hub.
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to comment, Dan, that this is a great project, and it sounds like we have an excellent partner who is more than qualified. Happy to see this happen in Trenton. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any questions? Board members on the phone? Comments? No? Okay. Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Thank you, Treasurer. A second?
I'll second.
Reading
second. Thank you. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? None being heard, the project is approved.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Next, we're going to move on to two items on the film agenda. I'm going to recuse myself from these items due to ownership that we have in some Paramount stock and out of abundance of caution. So I'm going to turn this over to Vice Chairman Starlow to lead the board through the next two books.
So you're not a movie star?
No, I'm not a movie star. I don't have a role.
Okay.
Thank you.
Never doubt.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Chair. Okay, so we have two matters on for the Film and Digital Media Tax Credit. Matthew Sestris, Manager of Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program, will present. We have, there'll be one presentation and two votes.
Thank you.
And again, just reminding everybody, we have the overview of the program up here on the board.
Sure. So what is the Film Tax Credit Program? Just briefly, we expanded under the ERA back in 2020. Over $330 million annually in allocation, spread across three buckets and then one for digital media. On the film side, it's up to a 35% credit on all qualified labor expenses across the state, and then 30 to 35% on qualifying expenses for certain services, depending on where in the state they're being used. There is a 2 to 4% diversity bonus available as well for productions that primarily target the higher women and minority cast and crew. And then part of that expansion under ERA created two additional buckets for larger studio developments ranging from 50,000 to 450,000 square feet. For a film to be eligible, they have to meet one of two eligibility thresholds, either 60% of the total production expenses without including post-production incurred to New Jersey vendors, or they spend at least $1 million a year in qualified expenditures. So either most of the film is shot here or they spend a significant amount. Today, we have completed the review and recommend the approval of two applications under the Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program. Both applications are under the Film Tax Credit Program side of the program. We have received written confirmation from an outside firm hired to review the production budget to make sure it is reasonable for industry standards. All film content has been reviewed and recommended for approval under the Act by the New Jersey Motion Picture and Television Commission. Total credits utilized across both recommendations film approval is over $35.4 million. The first project under consideration is Paramount Pictures Corporation, Inc., who is responsible for the production of Mean Girls, the musical. This production includes a 2% diversity bonus, and we are recommending an award of $13,023,212. The second application is also for Paramount Pictures Corporation. This project is before season one. There's no diversity bonus on this project, and we are recommending an award of $22,477,204. As mentioned, each project will need a film vote.
Thank you, Matthew. Okay. And on the Mean Girls, the musical, can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you. Commissioner, second.
Robert Chimka.
Robert. Any discussion or questions for Matthew?
The question regarding the diversity criteria. Is it based on a goal or actually fulfilling the goals identified in the plan?
So is there awarded the bonus based on submitting a plan that exceeds the minimum, which is 15%? And then when they come back in to certify, they have actually proved they've actually reached that goal. There are ways I can get it if they fall short of the goal through like best efforts test, but that becomes much more subjective than actually just proving that they had the staff.
Any other questions? Comments? No. Okay, we'll move for a vote. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we recognize the chair's recusal. Any other recusals or abstentions? Okay, motion passes. We'll go on to the next vote. Before season one, motion to approve.
Robert Chinka.
Thank you, Robert. Can I get a second?
Second.
Jenny? Okay. Any comments or questions on before season one? Okay, hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aside from the chair, any other recusals or abstentions? Motion passes.
Thank you, Matthew. Just a reminder, everyone has to watch all the TV shows to make sure they have good ratings and get picked up.
That's right.
That's part of your vote, whether it's in the memo or not.
All right, thank you, Charles. We're going to go back now to the next item, which is a Grow New Jersey Award, and Tyshawn Lee will present.
Good morning. So in addition to the slide, I just want to give a brief summary of the Legacy Grow New Jersey program, which was created in Lowell. Created by law in 2012 as the Grow New Jersey Assistance Program, or as we like to call the Legacy Grow, and later revised to the Economic Opportunity Act of 2013 to the current program, as we like to the BLA Grow, which was implemented to encourage economic development and job preservation and or creation to businesses who demonstrate that the award of tax credits are a material factor in their decision to create or retain jobs. So to be eligible under the Legacy Program, businesses must make a minimum capital investment of at least $20 million. They must employ at least 100 full-time retained employees or create 100 new full-time jobs in a desired industry for the state to maintain or attract. They're eligible for a base credit amount of $5,000 per job annually. There's no distinction between retained or new jobs. Also eligible for bonuses up to $3,000 additional per job if they meet one of three or any of these three criteria, either in desired or targeted industry, if they locate or relocate within a short distance of a public transit facility, or they create jobs with high salaries greater than the salary of the average worker in the state, according to the Department of Labor. The maximum annual award is capped at $4 million per year for up to 10 years, or a maximum of $40 million over the eligibility period. But it shall not exceed the amount of capital investment needed by the business. And the jobs in CapEx must yield a net positive benefit equaling at least 110% of the requested tax cut. And last, for the LEGO program, you must have applied by July 1st, 2014, and have submitted your project certification documents no later than July 28th, 2017, which was later extended to July 28th, 2019. Now I go into our request for Express Scripts. We're requesting an approval to complete the certification of project completion and to affirm that the project is not materially changed because of the reduction of eligible jobs from 713 to 509. We're also requesting delegated authority to approve a further 10% reduction from the current number of 509 if necessary. As a result of this requested change, the approved award will increase 24% from $40 million down to $30.5 million with potential for further decrease. So in May of 2019, Express Scripts requested certification of its project completion. The CPA certified that the company had made $65 million in capital investment, which exceeded the minimum requirement of $20 million. The company certified it retained 401 of the 585 at-risk full-time jobs and created 108 of the expected 128 new full-time jobs for a total of 509. The company informed us that due to a change in some of their business relationships and for being a little too aggressive with their initial job projections, they were unable to meet their anticipated full-time jobs. This matter was originally to be presented at the July 2019 board meeting, but was delayed due to the discovery of legal issues that were not previously disclosed by the applicant. These matters were reviewed and cleared in late 2019. However, this request remained on hold for further review in light of the task force review, OSC audit, and other relevant pending litigation for similar projects. An updated legal review has since been completed, and the applicant has been cleared.
Is that what happens with Springfield, or is it somebody else? I just let you kiss.
He knows you're in town.
Project continues to operate as described at board approval, with the company expending over $65 million in capital investment, retaining 401 and creating 108 new full-time jobs while continuing to satisfy the 110% net positive benefit to the state over 20 years. Thus, aside from the reduction in eligible jobs, the project has not materially changed. If board members approve this request, the vintage year for the aggregate tax credit will be for 2019, making the applicant responsible for filing the required outstanding annual reports from 2019 through 2022 to receive any tax credits for those requests. So in summation, we are requesting approval to complete the certification of project completion and to affirm that the project is not materially changed because of the reduction of eligible jobs from 713 to 509, which will result in a decrease of the approved award from $40 million down to $30.5 million. Thank you for your consideration. We have your taking questions.
Before you, that was a minor editorial overlay here. There were no shortage of challenges and I think shortcomings of the GROW program. One of the good features, however, was the performance-based nature of it, which is to say if they'd come in and said, we're going to do 500 jobs, not 700 jobs, you would have said, cool, you get 500 times whatever the formula is, and that's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get more than that number, but you can get less if you come in short. So what this is essentially saying is
well, a volume
of, well, we came in short, can we still get something? You get less than what you don't get what you pitched because that was 700 and something jobs. This took a long time to get resolved because of the legal issues, task force, all the other things. This is one of the last things I didn't throw on the to-do list that are still left over to clean up from that. But it's lingered probably longer than it should have. But that's all that's being asked here. Is that it's essentially a redo. If we came in and said we were going to get 500 jobs, not 700 jobs, you would have given us an award for 500 jobs, can we get a redo on that? We don't do that on delegated authority because it's real money.
Right.
And so here we are having this conversation.
Maybe it's a little bit of what Jewel asked on the prior one, right?
Yeah.
How do we know did you actually perform? And the answer is you did. Circumstances changed. It's a little less. And so we're adjusting.
Right. Right. And we just don't say no then. We adjust and do the
And it ratchets down. And that extra 10% is if when they come in and we declare that several of their jobs aren't further eligible, we have a little bit of wiggle room just to make sure we have to come back and bother you again. Well, at that point, would be a relatively modest change.
Any questions?
Chair, not relative to this, but just in general, Tim, how many more do we have for certification of the legacy?
I think the word, we are down to one, right?
Down to one.
Did you have the
case? Just came in this one.
Case came in?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're zero. We have certified all the
Well, we haven't certified them all are in. No more.
We're at the very end of that pipeline. It doesn't mean we won't be bringing grow stuff to this table from time to time. This is from 2013. This was more than 10 years ago. Right? These things have a long tail. Some of the Camden projects have recently a 25-year tail on them in their entirety. So,
yeah.
You know, don't forget everything you ever knew about grow. This lives with us for a good while.
Any other questions? Anyone on the phone have questions or comments? All right, may I hear a motion to approve?
I'll move it, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny. A second?
Second, Sarla.
Thank you, Charles. Any further discussion? None heard. All in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? All right, none being heard. The motion passes. Thank you. Next, we're going to shift to policy committee items. I am the chair of the policy committee, so again, a brief report. The committee, as all the committees, had an extensive meeting and discussion with staff on June 1st. The policy committee reviewed and provided input on several items for the board's consideration. I'm just going to highlight a few here. Among them, we have a number of programmatic or funding updates, including a request to use funding from the United States Environmental Protection Agency to implement NJEDA's brownfield planning and assessment services, a revision to the cannabis grant program pertaining to how the timing of that program works, utilization of funding from the Main Street Recovery Fund to supplement the Main Street Micro Business Loan Program, and shifting unused NJZIP Phase 1 funding to NJZIP Phase 2, which I think we'll include a report on the success of NJZIP 1. In addition, pertaining to the New Jersey Wind Port, the committee reviewed a memo pertaining to a temporary license agreement with PSE&G Nuclear for dredge placement on Parcel B, which Jonathan will explain. So with that, we're going to move to item one on community development, which is brownfields planning and assessment, and Melissa will present.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. Staff is requesting approval for the following items. Utilization of up to $2 million awarded to NJEDA by the United States Protection Agency to offer brownfield planning assessment services at eligible New Jersey brownfield sites, and to award and enter into contracts with the five highest scoring respondents to the request for proposals to provide professional environmental services.
Again, just saying, I'm sorry to interrupt, to remind everybody, we do have a slide with an overview of the program up here.
Thank you. The US EPA has awarded NJEDA a $2 million brownfields assessment grant. With funding from this federal grant, NJEDA can offer environmental services to assist with the redevelopment of brownfield sites throughout the state with a goal of targeting the most distressed communities. This initiative will complement our existing brownfields program, the Brownfields Redevelopment Incentive Tax Credit Program, the Brownfields Impact Fund, and HDSRF. Eligible activities include environmental site assessments and characterization, cleanup planning activities, community engagement, development of brownfield inventories, and other assessment services approved by EPA and NJEDA. Eligible entities to receive these services are New Jersey municipalities, counties, redevelopment agencies, nonprofits, and private parties. Both the public and private sector may nominate brownfield sites, and site nominations received by the authority will be provided to US EPA for their approval prior to initiating activities. Authority staff will engage with communities by directly reaching out to municipal and county representatives to increase their awareness of this initiative. On January 10, 2003, NJEDA's procurement department issued an RFP for professional environmental services, which was duly advertised in two newspapers and posted on the authority's website and New Jersey State Business Portal. Additionally, 316 firms were notified of the solicitation via email. NJEDA received 10 responses. The proposals deemed responsive referred to an evaluation committee comprised of qualified authority staff for review and evaluation. The five highest ranked firms are recommended for award. They are BRF, AKRF, Montrose Environmental Solutions, GES, and DHB. Services provided by vendors will be tailor-met to meet the needs of each individual entity, as well as brownfield sites. And prior to conducting any services, vendors will be responsible for obtaining signed agreements with the property owner. With that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions? Have we run this program before?
Yes, we have. We have a smaller grant, and this is bipartisan infrastructure money that the EPA is making larger grants with now.
Great. The tax credit launches next week. Yeah. Next week.
We will not allow it to stay, but it's very soon.
21st, isn't it? 21st.
Overridden, 21st. Is there a time frame on the money? Is it like a lose it or use it kind of thing?
Yeah, so it's a 5-year performance period, and then we have the option of a 2-year extension. And EPA's extension. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can submit a request for an extension.
Okay. How successful is our first program?
It's been very successful. We are 99% obligated on the funding, and we received really good feedback from the community. They're very happy with the streamlining of the process, and they're very happy to engage with brownfield sites that they may not have thought were on their radar because they have so much to do at the municipal level. So us coming in and really building up the capacity has been helpful for them.
Great.
Biggest success probably the big Camden Pile project?
Yes.
It's just read the name, but it's the big Camden Pile.
Any other questions? Questions from the board on the phone? Okay, hearing none, could I have a motion to approve?
Dragon, motion to approve.
Thank you. A second?
Antoine Johnson, second.
Thank you. Any other discussion? May I hear a vote? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or recusals or abstentions? None being heard, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Just real quick, not just because she made the motion, but Elizabeth and Commissioner Lasseret and the team at DEP are phenomenal partners in everything we do around brownfield remediation and lots of other things, but particularly brownfield remediation. So thank you, Elizabeth, for the motion, but more importantly, for the strong partnership from you and the commissioner and all of your colleagues.
Sounds like a great program for New Jersey.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of remediation to be done.
A lot of problems.
The next item is the Cannabis Grant Program. Janelle Johnson.
Good morning, everybody. So this is the slide in front of you. So this is a revision to Product 1 that NJEDA previously approved at the December 2022 board meeting. The purpose of my request today is to seek approval to make a slight change to eligible applicants for this particular round. This round is now known as Seed Equity, and it is built around technical assistance. We are now looking to open the pool to allow eligible applicants to also obtain site control and have municipal approval. This was not previously incorporated in the prior presentation. The grant program was created to provide funding to eligible private entities for expenses related directly to cannabis businesses that are startups in the state of New Jersey. Seed Equity, formerly known as Product 1, is funded funded for $3.6 million. We are expected to fund 24 applicants. This will be by way of four disbursements at $37,500 each. The funding source does come from our New Jersey state budget appropriation. Eligible applicants will receive up to $150,000 in grant funding. The reason we are looking to allow these applicants to also be eligible to apply to this program is because we believe we can measure a greater success of impact as to the startup businesses because these entities are further along. So not only are we providing financial assistance in the amount of $150,000, but we're also providing technical assistance to these entities. So we are looking to just really expand, and we learn as we go, and this is one of the revisions we would like to incorporate as well. I'm happy to take any questions or comments.
Janelle, could you just, we talked about this in policy, remind us what's Product 2 and how they relate?
Absolutely. So Product 2 is joint venture that launched on April 20th. That product is a
$250,000.
Say the name
again, Janelle. Joint venture.
On what date did it launch?
April 20th. So that program is created for applicants not directly related to social equity. That's the difference between the two. This particular round is only for social equity applicants, whereas joint ventures is for applicants that had site control and municipal approval. And just to give a little more background, that round did, I would say we reached our numbers. Beyond our number for the first 15 minutes, and within 2 hours, we shut the program down at 150 applicants.
And how much dollars authorized for Product 2?
For Product 2, it's 6 million. Mm-hmm. And for Product 1, it's 3.6.
So just so I understand, because I'm not sure I do.
Yeah.
So this expands the universe, is that what you're saying? So this eligibility... The changes in your eligibility is expansive now. Is that
correct?
Right?
Correct. We are now allowing or proposing eligible applicants to also have site control and municipal approval. Prior to this request, we eliminated that for this particular product.
Okay. This sort of oversimplifies, okay. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong, which I might be. We initially tried to kind of force people into one program,
okay.
Or one bucket or the other.
Right.
One bucket's quite full. And we're basically saying if you're in that bucket, but you also can fit in this bucket, maybe some people still ask more folks into that bucket. Because
okay.
we kind of made it a little rigidly said, you're here,
right.
Or there.
Right.
We're looking at a little bit of migration.
How much room do we have in this bucket in the product line?
We haven't opened it yet.
Okay. So, Paul.
But it'll get small fast. We'll be able to subtract here, too. Mary's going to get some more money.
So the applicants who were awarded on the first product, going to be eligible on the second?
No, if you got an award the first time, you're
right. And for each round, there will be a total of 24 recipients, right? So our first round, we are already at 17 approvals with our legal team, so we're looking to fund them very soon. And the second round, we anticipate the same, so we're just hoping for more money for future successes and, you know, going to other rounds, potentially providing loan funding, particularly because capital is limited not just on a state level, but obviously it's still illegal on a federal level.
Do we actually have any of the people that we funded up and running?
We have not funded yet.
You haven't funded. Okay.
17 are at our legal review.
Yeah.
We do one more final review, and then we'll move towards funding. We anticipate that to take place in July.
From April to July.
Okay.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah. Any questions? Anyone on the phone have questions?
Chair, these are non-recoverable grants if the applicant can't get site control or land use approvals.
So for this particular round, the third disbursement is based on site control. If they're not able to obtain it at that time, they will not receive the disbursement.
Right, but the first and second disbursements, they're not recoverable.
They're not recoverable, but we do have the diligence in place to make sure that the second disbursement will be based on what the first disbursement was used for, and the first disbursement is based on a successful completion of the technical assistance grant program, which is before 6 weeks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good question. Anyone else? Questions? Okay, hearing none, could I have a motion to approve?
I'll close it. Deborah Thurman.
Thank you. Second?
Angela.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
The next is a recommendation for additional funding for the Main Street Micro Business Loan Program, and Nye Marshall is going to present.
Good morning, members of the board. We are seeking the utilization of the sum $5.8 million that is remaining from the Main Street Recovery Fund in order to supplement funding for the Main Street Micro Business Loan product. Of the $25.8 million, we are also asking for their approval of a 3% deduction, a total of $774,000 for an administrative fee to support the EDA's cost to administer the additional funding dedicated to this product. In addition to this, if additional funding becomes available to the Main Street Recovery Fund, staff is seeking approval of delegation to the CEO to utilize up to $20 million of the 3% administrative fee reserved for the authority. The additional amount of $20 million will cover the projected balance needed to support all remaining eligible applicants for the Main Street Micro Business Loan product. Due to the demand of this product, there is a need to supplement the original allocation of $24.25 million to ensure more micro businesses have the ability to receive the needed support while they work to recover and maintain their business operations in Canada. And with that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
Just real briefly, just to get some editorial overlay here, the microbusiness loan program in itself and also just the focus that we have on microbusinesses, Juana Hope Rosemary somewhere knows we're sort of invoking her, things that she used to appropriately push us hard on. Something like 90% of all Black and Latino-owned small businesses in New Jersey are some form of microbusiness. When we talk about targeting microbusinesses, we're really talking about delivering on the governor's commitment around equity and inclusion in our small business efforts and our economic development efforts broadly. And so this is a really important financial and economic demonstration of that commitment.
Mm-hmm. I know I ask this every time. The Economic Recovery Act is a state or federal program.
And this has been subsequently funded through the budget. So there was $50 million in the ERA. There's been two $50 million budget allocations in the subsequent fiscal years. There's a proposed third one in this fiscal year. I'm looking at the Treasurer to make sure that's still looking okay, but it seems okay.
Back up to the Treasurer.
Seems okay. Treasurer, please. Thank you.
So we are taking the allocations that the legislature has given us.
Correct. Yeah, the legislature puts it in our accounts. You decide how to divvy that. Allocated.
And we are deciding on this person, in effect, they're allocating.
Mm-hmm. Correct. On a program level, the team says that Fred's Pizzeria or Bakery gets whatever.
I like that.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, pretty good.
Questions? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Hearing none, could I call for a motion for approval, please? Second?
I'll second. Jenny Bauer.
Thank you. Any further discussion or comment? Hearing none, could I have a vote? Please indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
Recusal. Antoine Johnson.
Okay, did we get that? Antoine Johnson recusing?
Can you state for the record?
Potential conflict of interest.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes. Thank you. Okay, the next is under economic transformation. This is the New Jersey Zero Emission Incentive Program, which I am told is NJZIP, and shifting undisbursed Phase 1 funding to Phase 2. Olivia?
Yeah, good morning. Hi, I'm Olivia. I'm the Senior Project Officer on the Clean Energy Team. I'm presenting a memo today requesting delegated authority to move undisbursed NJZIP Phase 1 funding to NJZIP Phase 2. Launched in April of 2021 with an allocation of $42 million, NJZIP Phase 1 pilot program established a first-come, first-served voucher-style program to reduce the upfront cost of purchasing an electric or zero-emission vehicle.
Can you just hold the mic a little closer here?
Yes, normally I'm phase one of the NJZIP pilot focused specifically on incentivizing adoption of medium-duty vehicles in our four pilot communities, Greater Camden, Greater Newark, Greater New Brunswick, and the Greater Shore area. We're really proud of our phase one statistics, supporting 389 new zero-emission vehicles, with more than 95% of our approved applicants being small businesses, and more than 60% of our approvals being minority or women-owned businesses. The applications closed in October of 2022. However, due to withdrawn applications and changes in vehicle purchases, NJZIP phase one will have some unused funding. As of today, we expect that there will be $3 million of unused funding remaining, again, due to those applicants withdrawing or changes in our vehicle purchases. However, there could be circumstances where unused funding could rise above that $3 million that we know about right now, or already identified. And so we're requesting that the additional program delegation so that we can quickly move over the funding into phase two if there are any other rare or unforeseen circumstances. Now, where's the funding going? So ending the phase two launched in April of 2023 with an allocation of $45 million, which also focused on the adoption of zero-emission vehicles in the state of New Jersey. This program has gained momentum and increased demand with over $50 million of our funding already reserved within the first 2 weeks of the program opening. Applications are still being accepted into the waitlist at this time. So to conclude, staff is proposing that any remaining phase one funding be shifted to phase one or phase two as needed.
Am I right in when we talked about this in the policy, is this one of the first in the country programs like this?
No. It's
right.
The first time for New Jersey.
Yeah,
I don't
have it. Maybe I'm making it. Sounds like the kind of thing that we would do.
It sounds very good.
Yeah. Well, the other thing
it's probably the best.
buried in the back, I think, of our board books, there is actually a list of the vendors. Mm-hmm. And these are all commercial businesses, right? This is not individuals. These are, commercial light trucks, I assume.
Commercial, industrial, or institutional use.
Right.
That's great.
And the demand is extraordinary, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
So this is just shifting funds from phase one to phase two?
Correct.
Any questions? Comments?
One question. Did you say $50 million has been committed at this point?
Correct.
Yeah.
But okay. So we have 45 plus the remaining that you want.
So we allow for additional applications to fully fill in their application past our 45 million funding.
So we're oversubscribed.
We're oversubscribed, but we can only spend the 43, right? Or with, right. Okay.
Yeah, there's supposed to be future allocations of ready money that we'll think about as we get through. We have a big pile to get through before we make those.
Okay.
And you're assuming some are going to qualify, and that's why you're going to have this additional money.
Correct.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Any comments, questions? Anyone on the phone, comments, questions?
Okay. Okay.
Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Antoine Johnson, motion to approve.
Thank you, Jewel. Second?
30 seconds.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, please indicate your vote by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Motion passes. Good luck.
Thank you.
Emma, on a recommendation for award,
Good morning.
Let me have graphics for hers.
Wow.
The members of the board are asked to approve the award of a business attraction and marketing contract to CHU New Jersey, a recognized 501c3 nonprofit organization, to develop and implement an extensive marketing program that highlights the benefits of doing business in New Jersey for 1 3-year term. In New Jersey's fiscal year 2023 Appropriations Act, which was signed into law by Governor Murphy in June of 2022, New Jersey Economic Development Authority was appropriated $15 million for business attraction and marketing initiatives. To best utilize this funding, the authority issued a request for proposals to enter into a contract with a qualified, responsible, and recognized 501c3 nonprofit organization to lead the state's business attraction and marketing efforts in support of Governor Murphy's 9 strategic sectors. Those sectors are advanced manufacturing, clean energy, film and digital media, finance and professional services, life sciences, non-retail food and beverage, offshore wind, transportation, logistics, and technology. New Jersey has previously provided funding in the Annual Appropriations Act for a similar scope of work. Most recently in the FY 2023 budget was a $5 million appropriation for a business marketing initiative through the Office of the New Jersey Secretary of State. Due to the similarity in scope between the authority's appropriation and the one allocated to the Office of the Secretary of State, the authority utilized similar requirements on applicant types, limiting only to nonprofit entities due to legislative intent. Through this appropriation, New Jersey joined several other states in utilizing state funding for strategic marketing initiatives. Regionally, the New York State Department of Economic Development received $9.6 million across FY22 and FY23 for marketing and advertising, most notably recognized by successful initiatives like the I Heart New York campaign. Additionally, in 2021, Governor Cuomo launched a $40 million global campaign to support New York tourism and attraction post-pandemic. 2022, Governor Newsom's budget included a $45 million one-time general fund appropriation administered through his Office of Business and Economic Development, SOBIZ, for the Visit California Marketing and Tourism campaign. And in 2023, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation received $18 million for marketing initiatives designed to attract, grow, and retain businesses, and $14 million to market the state. The NJEDA issued its Business Attraction Marketing RFP on March 27, 2023. The RFP was duly advertised in two newspapers for one day, the Courier Post and Star-Ledger, posted on the authority website, and on the New Jersey State Business Forum. 41 firms were identified by a New Jersey Star Search, and the notification for the posting was sent by email to all identified firms. The Q&A period closed on April 4th, 2023. On April 11th, addendum number one was posted on the authority's website with responses to the questions received during the Q&A period. On April 19th, addendum number two was posted on our website. The proposal was due by 1 p.m. on Wednesday, May 17th. One proposal was received electronically prior to the closing date and time. All proposals were graded across the following evaluation criteria: personnel weighted 20%, experience of the entity weighted 35%, the technical proposal at 30%, and the proposal at 15%. And they were evaluated by a scoring committee of EDA staff, all with relevant experience in business attraction or marketing. The RFP required a bidder to receive a total score of 3 or higher to be considered the award, which the response bidder achieved. Choose New Jersey successfully received a passing total score of 4.4 out of 5. Therefore, the evaluation committee recommended Choose New Jersey for the award. Due to the authority's pre-presented advocacy, the award will be $14,550,000 over the course of 3 years, around $4.8 million per year. With that in mind, we ask the board to approve the award of the NJEDA's Business Attraction Marketing Contract to Choose New Jersey to develop and implement an extensive marketing campaign that highlights the benefits of existing New Jersey and encourages domestic and international business entities relocate to and expand within the state. With that, I will open up to any questions.
I was just going to say we can't not do this. We know what all the other states, not just surrounding, as you mentioned, spend so much more money on marketing, and New Jersey has so much to offer. I just want them to take good use of this money and really do a good job. But I think it's great.
Again, this is an allocation from the 2023 budget, which we are implementing for the instructions in the budget. Any questions, comments?
Just one.
Because that has to be a nonprofit.
Yeah. And all 41 eligible entities were notified as soon as RFQ went live.
Okay.
Any questions, any comments, anyone on the board? I'm sorry, on the phone? Okay, hearing none, could I have a motion to approve?
I'll move it, Jenny Bauer.
Thank you, Jenny. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Jewel. Any further discussions? Hearing none, could I hear a vote? Please indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Recusals or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, Emma. Next, we will go to loans, grants, guarantees, and investments. The first item is Hazardous Discharge Site Remediation Fund, presented by Michael Dealey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members. Under the Hazardous Discharge Site Remediation Fund program, we have one municipal supplemental grant application seeking approval for funding. The municipal supplemental grant application exceeds the cumulative delegated authority approval threshold of $1.5 million. This grant request is from the Borough of National Park in the amount of $2,522,733. Got a project site called the Robert Hawthorne Sanitary Landfill. Prior approvals for this to the borough for this specific project total approximately $9.6 million. The proceeds of this request will be used to fund remedial action activities at the project site. It's the applicant's intent upon the completion of full site remediation to redevelop the property for renewable energy generation. The remediation of this project site is scheduled to be completed by the end of the summer 2023, and the solar commercial operation is projected to be completed by mid-2024. Thank you.
Just one question. We had a brownfield study approval. This is actually implementation. Is this actually shovels in the ground?
Yeah, this is shovels in the ground.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Board members on the phone? So hearing none, could I call for a motion to approve?
Dragon, motion to approve.
Thank you. Second?
Second, Sarla.
Thank you, Charles. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, New Jersey Wind Court, Jonathan. We have photos. Excellent.
Yeah. Good morning. Members are asked to approve the authority entering into a license agreement with PSEG Nuclear, granting PSEG a temporary right to deposit dredge material from the Delaware River into Parcel B. Parcel B is a 110-acre property owned by NJDA. It's currently permitted as a confined disposal facility, effectively as a piece of land that can store dredge swirls, and is intended to be developed as Stage 2 of the project. EDA's direct costs under the license are capped at 0.5 million per each three-year period the license is in effect. State budget appropriations will be used to cover these costs should they be incurred. The license will expire upon the earlier of EDA ceasing its use of Parcel C as a CDF, part of which is currently a CDF used by PSEG, or the completion by EDA of a new CDF for the property, which is planned to occur by the end of 2024. The license will result in several million dollars of savings to EDA from our use of Parcel C, such use being conditional on this license being in effect. Reflecting these savings and the benefits to EDA, should material be placed onto Parcel B, with phase two of the project currently having a deficit of surcharge material, the license has been granted to PSEG for no cost. PSEG does not anticipate actually undertaking any proactive dredging within this period and has yet to undertake any emergency dredging in the 37 years that the nuclear plant has been operating, meaning there's really a remote chance that this license will actually be acted upon. Nonetheless, the terms of the license address the possibility of any such dredging occurring, with EDA's interests protected by interference, environmental contamination, and limited indemnification provisions. Non-emergency dredge is also capped at 200,000 cubic yards over the license term. EDA's interests are further protected by the restriction of dredge placement to a specific portion of Parcel B, which ensures that placement will occur further away from port operations and anticipated phase two construction. Happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, I would just say, when we started out on the Windport project, I think one of the sort of inviolable principles that PSEG articulated, and we certainly ratified, given that the nuclear facility is responsible for 40% of the state's baseload right now, something like that, thou shalt not ever interfere with the flow of power from the nuclear plants to people's electrical sockets. This is a contingency and an example of the gymnastics we've had to go through to deal with building an incredibly important facility in the shadow of a cooling tower that is incredibly important and complex. So we didn't know we were going to have to do this 3 years ago, 4 years ago. We thought we would have built this into the lease from the jump. But
And again, this is a contingency. We don't expect that they're actually going
to
do it.
Right. The issue would be if someday they needed to do emergency drains to keep the plant running.
Right.
Our project comes second to the 40% of the base load.
They would then use it.
They would start. They would
remediate and,
that this liquidates
take care of all that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Public service would remediate everything if they do dredge.
So if they do dredge in place, they would be obligated for any contaminated or hazardous material.
Right.
They would be obligated to remediate.
And this isn't in perpetuity, Julie Ritsky. This is not in perpetuity. This, once we recreate a dredge site for them, if we disturbed by our construction of Parcel C, they would then have a permanent place, which is non-disturbing.
Okay.
So this is 2 years, 2 years, 3 years probably.
18 months. So, you know, one of the triggers for termination of the license is completion of a new CDF on Parcel B. Elsewhere on the property, we anticipate completing that CDF by the end of 2024. And as it's a CDF, it's kind of a relatively certain construction time frame.
Right.
It's no long lead item, which is effectively just building berms and digging out, you know, material. So 2024 is fairly certain for the completion of that CDF, and then this license would be complete. And again, you know, PSEG doesn't anticipate taking any proactive dredging in that 18-month period, and they haven't had to undertake any emergency dredging yet.
What's the likelihood?
It's fairly remote.
Yeah.
Okay, that's clear. Thanks for clarifying.
Yep.
One question following up to Denise's point on the insurance. It looks like PSEG is going to arrange for EDA to be an additional insured.
Yeah.
Right? So that's going to cover any obligations we may have? Or
that coupled with we have a limited indemnification from PSEG. We weren't able to get a full indemnification. They are indemnifying to the gross negligence and workable misconduct. Now, PSEG doesn't actually undertake any dredging itself. It will subcontract any dredging to the appropriate parties. So, that's
what
I'll
put the insured, I'm assuming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Any further questions? Anyone on the phone? Good hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Jimmy Bauer, I'll move it.
Thank you.
Angelo, second.
Thank you. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Hey, Jonathan, just while you're up there, just especially for me, while we have the slide up, all the parcels in tan, are those ours?
Ours by way of lease or ownership in the case of Parcel B. So that big parcel at the top there, we own outright, 110 acres. All of the rest of the kind of orangey-covered parcels are leased from PSEG on a 78-year lease basis.
Now 76, we signed it 2 years ago.
And and most of the major construction is taking place on Parcel A?
Correct, yeah, okay. Parcel A. And we're currently using Parcel C, 10 acres of Parcel C in a limited capacity, placing surcharge material onto C, which is what's triggered the PSEG's use of, potential use of Parcel B, because they currently use Parcel C as a CDF.
And you were explaining, I think, in committee that the idea on Parcel C is the sand is used to compact the ground underneath the site as opposed to physically compact.
Exactly. So, late June, all of the material that's currently compacting Parcel A will have to come off Parcel A so we can start site works, utilities, stormwater, etc. And it has to have a place to go. The original plan was to move it to Parcel E, which on the map there is a fair distance. By PSEG agreeing to us using Parcel C sooner, we can simply move that material, the trucks basically, to the right. And we save several million dollars by not having to truck it to E and then back to C when C is drawn down in January of next year.
It might be worthwhile at the next board meeting to just have another, you know, I think you sent some of these around, but slides of the progress, just so the board can see what's happening. And
yeah.
Great. All right, thank you. Now we're going to go to real estate. Charles, you want to give the committee chair report?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Real Estate Committee met on May 31st. We had full representation of the board members on the Real Estate Committee, as well as staff and representatives of the AG's office. We considered two memorandums. The first memorandum actually has two MOUs related to it, and that relates to University Hospital with regard to funding a master plan for University Hospital, MOUs with the EDA and the ECA, and then the MOU between the EDA and University Hospital. Juan Burgess, Vice President of Real Estate Development, will present that memo. Secondly, the Real Estate Committee looked at a memo regarding the health and agricultural building, a demolition project, and that matter is going to be discussed in executive session.
Okay. Thank you, Charles. Okay, Juan.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're asking the members to approve two memorandums of understanding in support of the master plan to redevelop the University Hospital campus in Newark, Texas. University Hospital was initially part of New Jersey College of Medicine and Dentistry and created to serve as a teaching hospital for Newark residents outlined in 1968. Currently, University Hospital is now a standalone state-controlled corporation that continues with the same purpose. The facilities at the hospital were dating back to the early 1970s as a last management-assisted planned capital improvement. In the 2021-22 budget, University Hospital received $150 million of coronavirus state fiscal recovery funds COVID funds. Commenced the planning and modernization of its campus. With those funds, University Hospital engaged Gessler, who prepared a master plan which recommends spending about $1.8 million to demolish structures, prepare sites, develop new facilities, and renovate the existing hospital. In the 2023 budget, the authority received $50 million of COVID funds to supplement $150 million at University Hospital. And the purpose of those funds is to study and plan for new healthcare facilities at the university site and to meet and to commission a study that would commission a study to ensure that the hospital would meet the needs of the Newark community. The balance of the funds would be used to supplement the capital $150 million for capital construction. The first MOU that attached to the memo is with the authority to accept $50 million from the New Jersey Department of Community Affairs and to use the funds according to the terms of the grant. The second MOU between the authority and University Hospital is initially to fund, permit the authority to fund three studies to support University Hospital's efforts to implement the campus plan. An amendment to the second MOU, or a separate MOU, would be entered into between the authority and University Hospital for the purpose to perform any site improvements, demolish any structures, construction, or renovate any facilities at the site.
Juan, thank you for that presentation. So, University Hospital, there's a lot to do there between now and, you know, what a finish line would look like. This is kind of the preseason, if you will, of this effort. This is an MOU to do some studies, to accept the funding from DCA. You know, to the extent something like what's contemplated happens, we're talking about a project of complexity that will rival the Windport. It just hasn't started yet. We'll be back with the details of how that would work, how those funds would flow, what we would be doing, who would be playing what roles, the complexity of, you know, potentially redeveloping or, you know, refurbishing a major, incredibly important hospital and public, you know, public health infrastructure.
Excuse me, Chairman and Tim. I am going to recuse myself as Essex County is very involved with this project.
Won't make a move without Essex County on this one.
Thank you, Phil. We understand.
Thank you.
Right, so we'll be back with a lot more details on how this could and would work. So that there's a decision to proceed further beyond studies.
Jim, with these two grants, are there shovels that go in the ground?
No.
This is all good work.
So the one on the top of the page, the 150, UH has it in their bank account, where they keep it, but that is allocated to the University Hospital. 50 was allocated, the second 50 last year's budget was allocated, this is all federal money, by the way, was allocated via us, A, to have some money to do some studies and design and pre-construction type work, if the decision is, you know, made to proceed with that, if we haven't made that decision yet. This is kicking
the
tires.
I mean, the memo says this is a $1.8 billion project, if you actually...
That's the high end of the full estimated range. Imagine the word phase is going to come into the equation at some point.
I was just
going
to say, it's probably going to be.
Yeah.
But if this is so needed, I mean, you know, healthcare universally, but, you know, specifically in our state, it's needed. So
it's anticipated that this $50 million will cover the study of the master plan for the entire
and have a bunch left over to have implementation money. We just haven't made a decision or a recommendation to the board on how to do the implementation.
Comments, questions? Anyone on the phone? Phil, we note your refusal. All right, hearing none, could I have a motion to approve?
Robert Chimko.
Thank you, Robert. Second?
Antoine Jackson.
Thank you. Any further discussion? We're approving both MOUs in this motion, right, Chris? All right, hearing none, may I ask a vote? All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We note Phil's recusal. Any other recusals or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, next, various board memos. Tim?
Yeah, I'll be real brief. One picking up on what Matt Sessions was talking about earlier, in addition to the awards that come to this table for approval for film and digital media tax credit. Last year, I believe it was, the board approved delegation of authority for us to approve below certain thresholds. That has kept 8 different agenda items off this agenda and on the staff's to-do list for a total of $26.2 million of award. That adds up. The Angel Tax Credit Program also continues to be an incredibly important and potent tool. We've made 105 different investor application approvals for 16 different companies. That's $2 million of tax credits is leveraged a little bit north of $10 million of investments in emerging technology businesses in New Jersey. So, again, another program that operates a little bit under the radar but is incredibly important, particularly for our tech and life sciences communities.
And, you know, as we've discussed in committee, I think we should really promote this because this should be a great program for both New Jersey taxpayers and New Jersey companies.
Amen. With that, you have the floor. Happy to take any questions.
All right. I'd now like to open the public comment portion of the meeting. First, I'd like to ask Danielle to read the NJEDA's public comment policy and process for this board meeting.
Thanks, Chairman. For any members of the public who would like to provide comment, for any members of the public attending in person who would like to wish to provide public comment, will be acknowledged to speak first during the public comment portion of the meeting. Members of the public attending by phone who wish to provide public comment can press 1, then 0 on their phone to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue based on the order received. To go over NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available on the NJEDA website, each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, and the topic on which the mark was given, and spell your last name. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit their comments to matters pertaining to the authority. They have to prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available for all of those who wish to speak. And related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to the email. Look forward to receiving your public comment at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. I'd like to acknowledge any members of the public attending this meeting in person who have registered to speak or wish to provide public comment at this time.
Mr. Chairman, we do have somebody who registered to speak in person. Communications told me that somebody did
provide
public comment.
There's someone here?
Nobody left.
No? Okay.
Maybe it's the reporters.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, we're doing public comment, Bill. Hey, but unless you wish to make public, I mean, you've got the floor already. You can just ask the chairman.
Okay.
Okay,
now?
Hopefully they're not at the...
Okay, then
Operator, is there anyone on the phone who has indicated public comment?
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to provide public comment, please press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your comment at any time by repeating the 1-0 command. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you'd like to provide public comment, you may press 1, then 0 at this time. We'll go to the line of Emily Arnold.
Hi, Emily Arnold, BRS Inc. This isn't actually a comment. It was a clarification just because the audio on the phone isn't great. There were 5 companies that were approved for the Brownfield grant from the RFP, and I didn't catch all of them. I was just wondering if you could repeat them.
Yeah, I can. Just pull up my memo. You said you're from BRS, right?
I am from BRS, yes.
Good news, you're on the list. BRS, in order of scoring, BRS, AKRF, Montrose Environmental Solutions, Groundwater and Environmental Services, VHB, there's name there, I can't pronounce very well, so VHB, but BRS on the list, yes.
What was the final one?
VHB.
Thank you.
Is that
That's
okay?
All
right, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry, the audio wasn't better. Any other comments, operator?
Once again, for any additional members of the public who would like to provide comment, please press 1-0 at this time. And we have none in queue.
Okay, thank you. Do we find the in-person person?
We think that was a member of the public who's just here.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you, operator. If there are no additional comments, I'd like to thank everyone for their participation. I would like to now request a motion to enter executive session to discuss a real estate contract matter involving public funds where disclosure could adversely impact the public interest, the minutes of which will become public, available when need for confidentiality no longer exists. The vote will take place after the board returns to public session. May I request a motion to enter executive session? Second?
Haridi, second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I think we're going to ask staff and the public to leave.
Staff, unless you need to be here for, you know, Juan, Steve, Will.
And hopefully, again, this is 5 minutes. We'll call people back in.
And this is regarding university, correct?
Nope. This is about the building project in Trenton.
Okay. Sorry.
It's a real estate matter, Phyllis. It should be straightforward.
No problem.
All right. The board will now enter executive session. For members of the public, you may hold the line. Board members and staff will return to this line when the executive session has concluded.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you for your patience. Please continue to hold the line. Your conference will resume shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, again, we do thank you for your patience. Please continue to hold the line as the conference will resume shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you for your patience. We should be resuming shortly. Please continue to hold.
And you're now
I'm going to continue the meeting. Could I request a motion to approve the increase in the demolition project budget and redesignation of a portion of the 2008 Series A bonds proceeds for the demolition project and related matters as discussed in executive session? Motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussions? Hearing none, could I have a vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passes. If there are no additional comments, I'd like to thank everyone for your participation and will now request a motion to adjourn the meeting. Request the motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Sure. And second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You can't refuse yourself from the journey. Thank you. This concludes our meeting. Thank you, operator.
Thank you. That concludes the conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T conferencing services. You may now disconnect.
Thank you.